gather together. And that sound of that rushing mighty wind filled that place. That God just filled this place with Himself. Hallelujah. Positioning ourselves for the suddenness. Positioning ourselves for the suddenness. A lot of times we've got more to do with things than what we think that we do. We can't do it, but there's a cooperation. And as the cooperation takes place, that's why he told them. He said, don't you leave Jerusalem until you've been endued with power from on high. That's the start of the church. If it took that to start the church, it's going to take that to finish the church.
Amen.
And to keep the church moving. Amen?
Amen.
Turn in your Bibles, if you will, with me tonight to the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. We're going to start in verse number 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Pray with me. Father, I ask that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know what's the hope of your calling. And what's the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints? And what's the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe? According to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in heavenly places. And ask that you grant us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, so that we'd be filled with all the fullness of God. Holy Spirit, I ask you for divine utterance this morning. I ask that you would help me to communicate the heart of the Father to us, your people, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I need my spirit man and my body to come help me tonight. For everybody listening, this is an illustration. Now, I want us to catch something, and I want us to see something. I want us to comprehend and understand this. It makes a great, great difference. All right. Adam, when he was in the Garden of Eden, before sin had ever entered into the picture, there was something that took place on a regular basis. God would come down in the cool of the evening, and he would walk with his man Adam. And as they walked, they would have sweet fellowship together. Man was made in the same likeness and same image as God. We still have that same makeup. There's a lot of things in this world that do not understand this concept and this truth because they think that we're just natural. But we're not just natural. There's more to us than that. If it wasn't for the Word of God, we wouldn't know these things. But the Word of God tells us about things. It tells us about things that medical science don't know nothing about because they think that we come from monkeys. That we evolved into what we are today. Well, you ain't come from a monkey, and you haven't evolved. There's things that you've grown in, that there's things that you may understand. There's changes that take place in our lives. But the picture that I want to present to us first to help get us on this page, because the subject that I'm talking to us tonight is discerning the Lord's body, or understanding the Lord's body, rightly dividing the Lord's body, and seeing ourselves as the Lord's body. So, when man was in fellowship with God correctly, before the fall, he didn't have to worry about all of the stuff that was taking place out here in this natural arena, because he was in tune with his spirit man. His spirit man was in contact with God, always feeding, always catching. That is why you'd have had here's just one example. When the animals were brought to Adam to name, he was already picking it up on the inside of what to call these things. He had a supernatural intellect. Brothers and sisters, you can't be plugged into God and it not have an effect on you. And it'll have an effect in every area if we learn to listen to Him, to respond to Him. Now, so before the fall, he was in perfect unity, spirit, soul, body. He never worried about his body. He never worried about his mind because his spirit man was connected with God. And when your spirit man is connected with God, there's a life flow. There's always a life flow in God. He doesn't have life, he is life. He doesn't have love, he is love. So this is one of the things that we've got to comprehend as the body of Christ. That we are not just natural human beings that God has saw fit to save or to make a way for salvation. And now we just got to drudge through this life. Pray for me, brothers and sisters, that I'll be able to hold out till the end. Instead of a revelation from the Word of God telling us who we are in Christ. Because in Christ, we're not just natural. We are natural, but we're not just natural. We are also spiritual. And there's a spiritual side, and there's a spiritual power, and there's a power of God that he wants flowing into his body. But after the fall, something happened. Now, before the fall, man was not operating in spiritual death. Spiritual death, help me with this, help yourself with it. Spiritual death is separation from God. God told Adam and Eve, he said, don't partake of that tree. He said, because if you partake of that tree right there, he said, you'll surely die. Now we know that they lived many, many, many years after they partook of that fruit from that tree that God told them. But something happened. they died spiritually. Dying spiritually, they were separated from God. And when they were separated from God, the influence of the Spirit, where God was communicating with, had been shut down, had been severed, had been cut off. And man couldn't get back to that place. This is why we need Jesus. This is part of discerning His body. This is why Jesus went through the things that He went through to accomplish this reinstatement or the making alive of our spirit. So before, this would have been a spirit turnaround. A spirit that was separated from God. But through Jesus, this spirit man has been made alive. But when the spirit man was separated from God, man then had to find a whole other way of navigating in this system. You know, it was something when he was in the garden and everything was laid out for him. All he had to do was just kind of tend it. I don't know what all of his job description would have been intended to it, but it was self-sustaining because there was life that was in there, a life flow, a life energy that was flowing. So, when he was separated from God, then he had to learn how to navigate through this earth system, and let's call it this. It was an earth cursed system. Because of what he had did. He had brought the curse on himself. He couldn't blame it on nobody else. But now, in his course of living, he had to learn to navigate in this earth cursed system. So, now he's got a body. He really realizes that he's got a body. Before, I think he had a body and a mind, and it was just everything flowed in such a beautiful harmony that it wasn't never a big deal. But it's a big deal for us. And it was a big deal for him after that. Because now, to be in contact and to understand this system, the only way that he could understand it was through his five senses. Give me five. Hold five up. You keep five up. Now, these five are what? Helper. What are these five senses that we have? We learned this. You learned this. They teach you this in a first grade or so. It's not very far up the education chain.
Hearing, touching, tasting, smelling.
Seeing.
Seeing.
The things that we... So, for the natural mind, if I can't see it, it's not real. If I can't touch it, it's not real. Because that's the way we learn to assimilate things. And the way that I assimilate things has a factor of my decision-making process. In fact, I make all of my decisions based on what I can see, hear, touch, feel, smell. Because that's the only way that they make sense to me. Correct? We're trained that way. We're brought up that way. It comes natural to us to do that. So my whole mind, my whole soulish realm is affected by this because this is shut down. This ain't alive. But when Jesus came and I asked him, I come in the mornings and I tell Sandy, I say, glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, I am redeemed. I said, I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. She says, who does he tell you that you are? I says I'm redeemed. Now my soul is, my spirit man is redeemed. Turn around, baby. So my spirit man has been made alive. Now there's a face. There's a face on me. Good face. My spirit man's been made alive. Now there's something that can be at work in my body, in my mind, in my soulless realm that I didn't have before because I was separated from God before. But now the same life that was in Adam, Jesus came to reinstate, to redeem us, to make it possible that we could operate on a higher level. We still got to navigate this world system. We still use our five senses. Where's my five? We still use these here five senses, but we're not just limited to our five senses because now there's something else that's been made available. Our spirit man has the life and the nature of God residing on the inside of him. Now this is where the Word of God comes into the picture. Because the Word of God will present things to you that are too good to be true in the natural mind. How in the world can this be? It doesn't make sense. Because the Bible is not there to make sense, because sense has to do with the five senses. The Bible is there to make something else. It's there to make faith.
Hallelujah.
It's there to make faith. Say, it's there to make faith. Because you can't get it over here. And so many people are trying to reason faith into the picture. And it doesn't come that way. Faith comes by a revelation of God's Word. And as God's Word reveals something, and where he reveals it to is to our spirits. See, a lot of times we get so happy when we get a goosebump. Thank God for a goosebump. Because something in our spirit man has had an effect on our body. It's had an effect on our mind. But brothers and sisters, it's a whole lot bigger than a goosebump. It is so much bigger than a goosebump. Yeah. So this spirit man is made alive. And this is the part of us that God communicates with. Right here with our spirit. It's not with our intellect. And it's not with our body. It can have an effect on our intellect and on our body. That is, we can understand something that we didn't understand before. But the Bible is there to make faith. To make faith. You can't get faith any other way. Not Bible faith, not the God kind of faith. There is a natural human faith. But the God kind of faith is on a whole other level and on a whole other plane. Amen? Because it's got the life of God. It's taking a hold. And all of these things take place in the spirit part of us. And once we catch it in our spirit, it has an effect on my soul so that it can have an effect on my body. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, that's what Jesus came to do for us. He didn't just come to make a way so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. Thank God for that. Because hell is a horrible place and none of us want to go there. But I'm going to tell you what, there's so much more that come in this redemption package. In this revelation package. Than just missing hell. Because when Jesus came, he came that we might have life. Life was what Adam had before the fall. Amen. Jesus is called in the scriptures the second Adam. The first Adam brought separation to us. The first Adam brought separation. The second Adam, Jesus, brought reinstatement, the possibility, the option to be reunited with God. So it has an effect, but the only way that we can find out the effect of it is through the Word. This is where many of us in church, we fail in our comprehension because we fail in our desire to feed on the very thing that can reveal to us who we really are. See, Paul had this revelation. You would have thought if anybody had the revelations in the New Testament era, it would be his disciples, the 12 or 11 that walked with Jesus. But Paul had a greater revelation than they did. Why did he have, is that a good question? Why did he have a greater revelation than they did? Because he was open to what the Spirit was going to show him. And as we're open to what the Spirit of God is going to show us, now how is he going to show it? He's going to show it through the Word. It's a revelation in the Word. So in there, he's talking about Jesus because he met with Jesus. Even though Jesus had died before him, he come to know Jesus through the Spirit. And he come to know insight and revelations because his spirit man was made alive. His spirit man was made alive. And as his spirit man was made alive, he understood. There were things that were written and recorded because he was one of the most learned men that there were in the Old Testament. So God just took what was in the Old Testament and made it real to him. I guarantee you, if he read over these here scriptures right here that I read to us tonight, there would be profound insights that would be coming out of his mouth because they were coming out of his heart. Because his heart was connected. And as his heart was connected, he understood these things. When the things that Isaiah saw 750 years before, I see it. It is such a beautiful thing. And every time that you get a hold of a revelation from God, it's just that very thing. It is such a beautiful thing. It's almost overwhelming. It'll make you laugh, make you cry, make you dance, make you shout. All at the same time.
Praise God.
All at the same time. But one of the things that happens to us in church is this. We've been so familiar with letting our five senses tell us how we're supposed to think. And we've gotten so used to it that a lot of times we just walk out this here Christian walk just totally in the natural. And we live so below our means when we do that. Because there's a higher plane, there's a higher flow that wants to flow into our life. Just as Adam, in the beginning, the intellect that he had when he was in the garden, for every animal that there was to be able to put a name to it, there is no telling just how full his intellect was because it was charged, supercharged with the life of God in it. And now he was limited to just what his five senses would tell him would be okay. But brothers and sisters, when Jesus came, When Jesus came, let me say it again. When Jesus came, all of the works that the devil had done, Jesus came and undone. Let me say that again. All of the works that the devil had done, every effect of spiritual death, every effect of separation from God, Jesus came to undo it. It was so twisted, but Jesus took it untwisted. But these revelations for us come through the Word of God. And the Word of God is picked up. It's received. It's understood. Not in this arena right here. Not in this arena right here, because this book is a supernatural book. It can have an effect on this area, but this area right here can't handle it. But this area right here is made to handle it.
Yes, amen.
Handle it. This arena, your spirit man, is made to be able to handle the Word of God. Now, he told Joshua in Joshua 1:8 how to make his way prosperous and have good success. You want to do good in life? You want to be a success in life? You want to be a success in what you do? He said, this is the way you do it. He said, don't let these here words depart from your eyes. You keep them in the midst of your heart. You meditate on them day and night. And as you meditate on them day and night, have you ever seen a dog chewing on a bone? He'll take and he'll work that bone over. That bone can have meat and it can have gristle. And he'll keep gnawing on that bone and gnawing on that bone and gnawing on that bone and gnawing on that bone until he's got everything on the outside off of it. And he's got everything on the inside of it out of it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He'll chew it and he'll chew it and he'll chew it. See, this is another picture of the Word of God when he says to meditate. That we get that Word in our mouth and we chew on it, and in our mind and we chew on it and chew on it and chew on it until we get everything on the outside off of it. And then we get everything on the inside of it out of it. And as we do, there's something that supernaturally takes place. The light comes and we understand now something that we didn't see before. And when we understand something that we didn't understand before and we see something that we didn't see before, there's something that always follows it. Curtis, I need you. This is a family affair. So, as I have been feeding on the Word of God, my spirit man starts catching this. And I start catching these truths, this revelation from the Word of God. I'm starting to see things that I didn't see before. I'm starting to comprehend what I hadn't been able to comprehend before. And this light causes something else to rise up. And what starts to rise up is, see, it's not supposed to make sense. It's supposed to make faith. It's not just supposed to make sense. It's supposed to make faith. And as I start seeing it, faith starts to rise up.
Yes, amen.
And faith gets this look. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I can have this. He said I can have. He said I am this. Glory to God. And he says, let's go for it. Let's go for it. So, faith cometh. Now faith has had an effect on my soulish realm. And now I'm starting to believe something that's bigger, stand right there, that's bigger than just my five senses. See, it affects these five senses, but it's not just limited to the five senses. It has the potential, the ability to go beyond it. So this has had an effect on my soulish realm, because my soulish realm is a lot of times caught between two different parts of me. And I'm kind of dancing in this thing, and I'm not knowing which way that I should go. My body's telling me this, my senses is telling me this, but my spirit man is saying, you can do this. God's got more for you than that. There's more in his experience than just that. And I'm wondering. But as the revelation from God's word comes, faith rises up in my heart. And now my mind becomes one. And when my mind becomes one with my spirit, and I know you're alive, baby. You are alive. You ain't back to us no more. You are alive. That this life of God now has an effect on my mind, on my soulish realm. See, because your soul is made up your mind, your will, and your emotions. A lot of times we just want to understand it from a natural standpoint. But God wants us to understand it from a spiritual standpoint. Because when we understand it from a spiritual standpoint, it can have an effect on this natural realm. Because that's the only way this body knows how to contact. See, you're not just only human. Don't never let nobody feed you that cop-out. That, well, I'm only human. No, you're also human. You're human, but if you're born again, your spirit man is made alive. Everybody else that ain't born again, their spirit man is dead. So they're separated from God. But you ain't separated from God. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things has passed away, and behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, that's a heavy hitter. That's a life changer when the revelation of that. You say, well, I don't see that. I don't understand that. Well, I can tell you something. Meditate on it until you do. Feed on it until you do. And when you do, you will be the one who's coming to me and said, well, glory to God, my spirit man has been made alive. I see something that I didn't see before. Yeah, I said, I've been trying to tell you that for years.
Praise God.
What does it matter? It matters everything. The way that we see ourselves in Christ. In the anointed one. Because that's what Christ means. The anointed one and his anointing. That we see ourselves. I ain't just a natural man. I am a natural man, but I'm not just a natural man. There's more to me than that. There's more to you than that. Who hath believed our report? And to whom? Or to who? Is the arm of the Lord revealed? When we believe the report, and this is one of the things where we make an error in church. We try to manufacture this faith from this area right here. This area right here doesn't manufacture faith. This area right here is the way to manufacture faith, because our spirit man is the candle of the Lord. And let me say it like this. That's the part he lights up. That's the part that's got a wick.
Amen.
That's the part that's got a wick. So, my spirit man is starting to catch a hold of the truth of God's word, because there's a desire in my heart to feed on what he says.
And as he does,
hold your finger up. Hold one finger, just one finger. That's for wick.
And God sees that desire, and he says, he comes there and he says, and he lights her candle. Her spirit man, now you can look in her eyes and you can see it all over her face. Because you can tell when somebody's got it when they don't. Your face is a giveaway. I can promise you.
Well, glory to God, I think I got it. Well, I can tell you what, glory to God, you ain't got it.
You say, well, how do you know I ain't got it? Who are you to judge me? I can look at your face. I can look at your face. You can tell when somebody's happy and when they're sad. Can you? It don't take rocket science. You can look at the glow on somebody's face. And brothers and sisters, when we get a hold of a truth from God's word, there's something that'll change in our countenance. I told somebody, I said, your countenance looks better today. But I said, my what? They didn't even know they had a countenance. Well, you got one, and it's a revealer of what's going on the inside. And as my spirit man has been illuminated, the candle has been lit, then faith rises up in this arena, but it comes from here. And now I start to do something, because this part right here catches it, and it's able to speak internally, but there's things that's got, faith has got to be spoken out. So, as faith comes, illumination, I'm seeing something. Not just in my spirit man, but I'm seeing it now, and it's having an effect on my soulish realm. In my soulish realm, there's something that happens. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I see it. These people talking about this for years and years and years, and I thought it was a myth. Or I thought it was true, but I didn't think I could ever step into something like that.
Hallelujah.
What it is, it changes a theory into a reality.
Hallelujah.
And when a theory is changed into a reality, it ain't a theory no more.
Praise God.
So, now, when he says here words like this, that he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him. Now, everything that I'm saying right here is having to do with the way that we esteem what he says. Here it is. If I esteem it, I place value on it. I place honor on it. I place worth on it. If I place no value, no worth, no honor on it, then I'm limited to just what my five senses tell me that I can have. I'm earthbound, natural rule. I'm a carnal Christian and I'm fleshy. Most of the church world walks this way. By their senses. They're letting everything in nature, in the natural realm, dictate to them of every step that they've got to take. And they're all calculated by what some people do fairly good at it. But I'm going to tell you what, you ain't going to do good at it as a Christian. Because there's a whole other part of us that's shut down. And the most valuable part of us that's been made alive unto God has been shut down. Now, here's a picture. If it's so valuable, because this is the part of us that gets born again. This part right here, Kurt, I'm having to use you twofold. I'm going to use you as the soul because that's my part. And I'm going to use you as the body. But your body ain't born again. In fact, your soulish realm, your mind and all, ain't even born again. Well, David, don't dump on me like that. I thought I was something. I thought you'd been preaching all of this stuff, and I was somebody. You are somebody. But the part of you that is of the greatest value is your spirit man, because that part has been right, made right with God. The moment that you accept Jesus as your Savior and He washes you, this part that was separated from God has been now been made alive unto God.
Amen.
The most valuable part of us, that part's ready to go be with Jesus right now if He were to come. Or if we left this world, that's the part that goes to be with Him. But that part can have an effect on this part. And this part can have an effect on that part. See, without this part being made alive, that's really, I only got two components of me to work with. My mind and my body. My emotions and my body. And you don't tell me that there ain't so many Christians that are just emotionally driven. They go from one high to one low. Or a high to a high. And they're so sense ruled. They believe everything that takes place here in this natural. If a doctor tells them something, that's all that they believe. But when the spirit man is made alive, the doctor can say what he has to say. Because he's working in this natural realm. But you've got a citizenship in two realms. You're affected in two realms. And there's something when God says something that supersedes and goes beyond what the doctor says, it's like, whose report you going to believe?
Amen.
Well, I got the doctor said, well, what about Jesus? What did He have to say? Yeah, I understand that, but until they ever get past that book, and let me tell you what, you cannot get past it in your own thinking. You can only get past it as a revelation from God's Word coming lights in your spirit. And then your spirit man has an effect on your soul so that your soul can have an effect on your body. It seems pretty complicated, but it's pretty much the way it is. So, most of the time what we do, we read junk and watch junk that just affects this part of us right here. And then that part of us right here has an effect right here. Because that's what we're feeding on. But to change the outcome, you've got to change the income or the input. True? So, if I'm wise, I will start feeding on what God says about my situation, about from His Word. Because there's something that happens as I feed on His Word. Light comes, or my her candle is lit. And when the candle is lit, smile, baby. Do it. Illumination comes. You can see it coming out of her eyes. You can see it all over her face. It radiates. There's not a spirit of depression. There's not a spirit of being cast down. There's not a spirit of defeat, because she saw something that is on a higher level. And as you saw that on a higher level, it can have an effect on the soul, and it can have an effect on the body. Amen. Now, what are we talking about? Jesus. We're talking about discerning the Lord's body. If we don't know that Jesus did that for us, you can't take a hold of something that you know nothing about. It's like we're grasping into midair and wanting to get a hold of God. But the substance of getting a hold of God comes through His Word. Because as this revelation comes, and my spirit man catches a hold of it, it has an effect, and I start seeing it. See, most of the time we want to understand it first, and then we'll believe it. True? Let me say that. We want to understand it first, and then we'll believe it. Now, what we've got to understand is what the Word of God says. And if He says, and I told somebody one time, if the Bible said that these here walls were purple, and my mind said that these walls were white, what would I believe? Now, that's easy to say in a setting like this, but what when the rubber meets the road, and then you're called into place of decision, and somebody's going to say, how in the world can you be so stupid to believe that those walls are purple when you can look at them with your eyes and see that they're white? And I said like this, if God said they're purple, they're purple. And bam! And all of the white fell off and they were purple. Why? Because whatever God says, you can mark it down, it's true. Whether I can comprehend it with my mind, whether I can see it with my eyes, or I can touch it with my hands, or I can... any of these here five senses, am I going to place more value on what I can see, feel, smell, touch, say, than what I do on the Word of God? If I do, I'm just going to be limited to the part that I can walk out with what I can see from this natural realm. But we're created to be somebody that can walk on a higher level. Amen. And it ain't crazy, it ain't goofy, but it is supernatural. Because we've tapped into something. There's a revelation that comes. And when the revelation... Are y'all getting tired? When the revelation comes... It's like kerosene in the kerosene lantern. You can put a new wick in it, but until that wick has had time to absorb that kerosene, it ain't really tapped into the source for the light. And when I take and start feeding on the Word of God, I start pulling up from the deep places of God into me. And that kerosene is rising up like it would be in that kerosene lamp. And then when that makes contact with God, I'm going to tell you one thing. There's a flow that takes place. Amen. Nobody else might not understand it, but you understand it. Because you've got the revelation. You've seen something that you never saw before. You comprehended something that you never saw before. Now, to who is the arm of the Lord revealed? The ones that believe the report. Amen. If we don't believe the report,
And I'm not, and what I'm saying about this, not believing the report in theory, but believing the report in reality. Because it's a big difference again. A big difference again. We aspire a lot of times to believe the Word of God. But when we're believing, something happens here. Something happens here. Something happens here. Why? We're an integrated system. We're not just a body, although we have a body. We're not just a mind, even though we have a mind. And we're not just a spirit, but we are a spirit, and we have a soul, and we live in a body. Because this spirit that's in us has to have a way to express itself. It expresses itself in this area right here, in our thinking, in our saying. And we express it also in the house that we live in. This is my car I drive around. Without my car, without my body, I can't go nowhere. I'm housebound. I'm not just earthbound, I'm housebound. This is why he tells us to do something with our bodies. This is why he wants this word to have an effect on our bodies. Because our bodies are very important. Because when I want to go somewhere and God's got a job for me to do, I can't do it if my body is not cooperating. That's why he wants this body to be affected by what he says in his word. But before the body can be affected by the Word of God, my mind has got to change to God's thoughts, His way of thinking. The candle's illuminated. It brings light or insight to the mind. As the mind now is starting to see it, has effect on my body. Now we can go somewhere. Amen. Glory to God. Now let's look at these scriptures in a whole nother light. Y'all can sit down a minute. That don't mean I won't meet you again. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Say, to me.
To me.
Say to me.
To me.
That's mixing some faith with the Word of God. Don't just let the Word of God sit out here somewhere else. Start saying, hey, glory to God, he's talking to me. He wants me to get a hold of this. He wants me to comprehend. Who hath believed the report? I'm one of them report believers, Lord. He said, who's the arm of the Lord revealed to? I'm one of the ones that I see his arm reaching out. Where's it reaching? He's reaching toward me. Amen. Glory to God. Put yourself in that place. Now, he's talking about Jesus. These are things that Isaiah saw 750 years before it ever took place. He said, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. Where did he come from? He come from Nazareth. Just a little hole in the wall. Where did they come from? They came from Cherry. What's in Cherry? Nothing. It's like dry ground. Or we might say it's like wet ground. What's here?
See, I've told people before, people don't come to Cherry to stay. They come to leave. I told the state overseer those same words. I said, preachers that you all send out here for the most part, they come here to leave. They don't come to stay. They want to use Cherry as a place just to step on to get to where they want to be. But God loves people right here. And God cares about people right here. And God wants to use people just like us to affect people right here. Because people right here are just as precious to Him as they are in Texas or anywhere else on the face of this earth. And He's got to have somebody that will come up like Jesus did, out of like a tender shoot out of a dry ground. See yourself that God could use you that way in a capacity. Let Him enlarge your capacity. See, when I went to Bible school, I never had any inclination that I would ever be back to this place. And right where I thought that I wouldn't be is right exactly where I am. And you know what I say? Glory to God, hallelujah, use me right where I am.
Yes, amen.
That's the picture that I want us to catch, all of us to catch. I'm important to the kingdom of God. You're important to the kingdom of God. And God's got to have somebody that He can light up, that He can illuminate, that He can stir their faith up, that they can have an effect on not only their own bodies and their own minds, but they can have an effect on other people's minds and bodies. Not that we want to manipulate somebody, because we could care less about the thing of manipulating somebody, but we do love it when revelation comes and people see the glory of God and the power of God in demonstration.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There is no form or comeliness. And when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. What did He look? He looked ordinary. What do you look? Ordinary. But I'm going to tell you one thing. There's something that's not ordinary about us, because our spirit man has been made alive unto God. And that spirit man is your key and my key to a successful walk in this earth realm. But so many times what's been dictated to us is we got to walk this thing out in the natural. And that's where, for a lot of churches, that the Bible has just become a moral code of doing right and not doing wrong. But it has that in it, but it's more than that. It has the life of God in it. And as we catch His word and catch His spirit and we become illuminated by the power of God, it has an effect on our soul. And we start seeing things that we couldn't see before. And this is hard to explain to somebody, but when it starts working for you and you start seeing yourself in a different light, it's a lot easier to grasp. Can I get an amen? He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Brothers and sisters, there's things that we have walked through in life. And what this world system would tell you, that these things have just got, they're going to affect you for the rest of your life. And God says, they may have had an effect on you, but let me tell you something. I'm going to raise you up above that place. Because this life of God is bigger than what you went through. This life of God is bigger. It's bigger. Say it's bigger.
It's bigger.
And it'll change us. It'll change us. Just as it'll make a person who is separated from God right with God, it'll take dark places in a person's mind, memories of things that you... It's hard to unsee something that you've seen. It's hard to unexperience something that you've experienced. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The life of God has a way of taking those things that were dark places and changing them around. Changing them around. Can it happen in the natural? No. Can it happen just in the mental realm? No. But it can happen in the spirit realm. Why? Because that spirit realm's got life in it. And that life that's in it can have an effect on the soul and on the body. Thank God we've got emotions. Thank God we've got intellect. But I'm going to tell you one thing. There's more to you than just a pretty face. That's smart. You got the life of God in you. You got the life of God in you. Now sometime you're going to have to stop me. I'll preach all night. Because I'm just getting fired up. See, there's something about the Word of God and the Spirit of God. As you start fanning them flames, glory to God, it gets better and better and better and better and better. And I start seeing things that I didn't see before, and I start comprehending things that I didn't comprehend, and it makes me just want to go on some more. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And we esteemed him not. Now, here's a big word. Esteem. Because the way that we honor him, the way that we value him, the way we place importance on him, is the way that it's going to be measured back to us. Little value, little return. Big value, big honor, big return. But Isaiah saw this. But it didn't stop Jesus. Even though people didn't esteem him, he esteemed us. That's good preaching right there.
Amen.
Even though people didn't esteem him, he esteemed us. He saw value in us. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, this is something that has to be grasped right here in this arena. But what we're trying to do is grasp it in this arena right here, just in the soulless realm. This is where we need to meditate on this. This is where we need to feed on this. This is where we need to be like the dog chewing on the bone. I got every bit of the gristle and all of the meat off of the outside, and I'm still not satisfied. I'm going for the inside. And I'm going to get everything out of it that's in it. And when I go after the things of God with a desire in my heart like that, how can he refuse you? He can't refuse you. He's not wanting to refuse us anyway. But we wanted to limit ourselves because we place no value or no esteem, no honor. Well, if he wants me to get it, he'll just give it to me. Well, he wants to give it to you, but the kingdom of God operates by laws. And one of the laws is the law of faith. And you can tell when somebody's got a desire and when they don't. Can you? Could you tell when you had a desire and when you didn't? Was there a difference?
Yes.
Oh, yes, there is. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows.
Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. They were looking at Jesus just from the natural, not really realizing. You know, the word says, if the enemy knew what he had done before he had done it, and he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because he thought that in killing Jesus, he stopped all of the plan of God. But in the crucifixion of Jesus, and in the death and burial of Jesus, Jesus went into death and experienced death in every phase that there was, and he overcame it. That's why we can rise again when we take our last breath. We're not just natural. It doesn't stop with us there. In fact, it really just begins. Right now, what we're doing, we're going through life on training wheels. But what has this afterlife got for us? Oh, man. To be in the presence of God. Right now, we don't comprehend just how we will be. But the Word says that when he comes, we will be like him. Like him. So, let me get to this first. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And a lot of times people think that's their course in life. That's all that they're here for, is to go through hardships and afflictions, places of weakness. Because in the natural, that's one of the things that just happens. You don't have to look for it. It just happens. But look at this but. And look at what follows this but. See, this helps inspire us to want to reach out and to dig in. To comprehend and to meditate and chew on that bone. Because I didn't know that there was so much life that was in the bone. Ted Dale told me something one time. I said, vegetable soup was better when Mama used to make it than it is now. Well, my mama, there was a big crowd of us. So when it come to making soup, she would get that great big old pot, about this big around, about so tall. And she'd put water in it, and she'd put soup bones in it. And she would cook those soup bones, and then she would start pouring a quart of this, and 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 that whole pot would fill up. And Ted said something. I said, soup's not as good as the... He said, your mama used soup bones, didn't she? I said, yes. He said, all of the flavor is in the bone. All of the flavor is in the bone. See, so when we take and we get digging down into the depths and the inner things, in the things of God, we get into where the life is. That's why people can't just look at you and see the life that's in you, because the life that's in you is in you. They can only see it when it starts to come out of you. You see that? There's a life force that's there. There's a life force that's there in every believer. So we're not just limited to what this natural world has to throw at us and offer. But let's see what follows this book here. Because it can be that way, but we have an opportunity to do something about it. We can believe the report of the Lord. And as we believe the report of the Lord, something can change. Amen. Hope can rise. And faith can reach out and take a hold of what God has made available. What's he made available? But he was wounded
for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace. What it took to make peace for us. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And what does it say here? And with his stripes, we are healed. And you say, well, man, that's just too good to be true. Now, let me say it like this. It is too good, and it is true. It's not too good to be true, but it does have to be embraced so that the spirit man takes a hold of this revelation from the Word of God. And there's something inside of us that says, I'm not turning loose of this. This is my bone. And I'm going to gnaw this bone. And I'm going to get every bit that there is in this bone. And then I'm going to eat the bone itself. I'm going to eat every bit of gristle and every bit of meat. I'm going to eat the very marrow that's in the bone. Because Ted said, the flavor for that soup came from those soup bones, from the marrow that was in the bone. And the marrow that's in Jesus' bones, the life that's in Jesus' bones, the life that's in the Word of God, comes to us as we chew on it and as we feed on it. And it starts becoming real to us, and we start seeing something that we didn't see before. We start to comprehend something that we didn't comprehend before. And then not only is our spirit man made alive, and he's God, and now he starts speaking to the mind. And as he speaks to the mind, but see, God communicates with our spirit. He communicates with our spirit so that it can have an effect on our mind. Because whatever decision making is made right there is the decision making of what's going to happen in us. If we side in with the body and the flesh, then that's what we're going to get. But if we side in with the spirit man that's been made alive and illuminated, then we can incorporate change. Now that's good preaching right there. Why do we insist on walking out this walk totally in the natural when we could be walking it out in the spirit? And walking in victory. I believe that we will see ourselves. It's because of the way that we see it. And it's the way that we esteem it. We get out of what we put in. What we want in church is for God to do everything and we not to do nothing. But God's got to have somebody that will cooperate with him. Somebody that will get on the page with him. And as we do, man, you talking about setting ourselves in a position or positioning ourselves. Every day of our life, we start positioning ourselves for the suddenlies of God. They're not something that just happens every 2,000 years. But we can start positioning ourselves by the way that we esteem what he says. Because when we esteem what he says, we esteem him. See, if I tell you something and you don't believe it, you don't esteem what I say very highly. And there's another part that comes to it. Not only do you not esteem what I say very highly, you don't esteem me very highly. Do you see that? So if we want to be esteemed highly, we have to esteem highly. That don't mean that we believe everything that comes, but it does mean that we believe what comes from the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
This is where, Curtis, I need you now, because Curtis is playing the part of my soul. Because as my spirit man, no, you can say it right there. As my spirit man, yeah, come on. As my spirit man starts receiving these truths from the Word of God, there's something that happens to my soul. It's starting to see things. The pictures that it's comprehended are starting to change. The things that it's been told ever since I was this big and been drilled in me, I'm starting to see things from a different light, because now my mind is being renewed by the Word of God. And when my mind is renewed by the Word of God, I start seeing God's pictures. Not just natural pictures, but I start seeing God's pictures. And as I start seeing God's pictures, just like this one right here, and by His stripes, you were healed. You say, well, I believe that. Let me ask you this. Do you believe it enough that it's lighted you up? You say, glory to God. See, you can look at it on your face. You can look at it on our faces. Because our faces are a giveaway. Well, I'm sure I'm kind of manufactured. No, you can't manufacture it. But we can yield to it. We can esteem it so that it can flow. So that it can flow. So that it can flow. Because when this mind gets this revelation from this spirit, don't you think for a minute that it's not going to have an effect on this body. Because I'm not bound by what the doctor said. I'm bound by what God said.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, there's many people that have it. There's many testimonies of people that doctors have given up on that are still living today. Now, let me say this. There's something that's more important than just adding length of days to your life. There's a quality of life that is there. And there's a life of God that is there. And when those things are tapped into, life is worth living. And it changes the whole picture. Because it changes the whole outcome. And it's not just length of days. And people go to the doctors and they go, one of the things that they go is so that they can have length of days. Why? Because they're not satisfied yet. There's something on the inside that's not satisfied. God wants us to be satisfied when we leave this world.
Mm-hmm.
Said about Abraham, he was of a full old age and satisfied. He had lived life to its full. I want to live my life to its full.
Amen.
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 Stand with me. I got to let you stand, or I will keep on. Hallelujah.
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 Father, I just honor you. I just praise you. I just thank you. There is none like you. And I thank you for these people. These precious people. These precious, precious people.
Thank you, Lord.
That want to hear your word.
Amen.
They want to hear your word. How do I know they want to hear your word? Because they're here.
Amen.
They want to hear your word.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to hear your word.
Amen.
I want to preach your word. I want to proclaim your word. I want to say what thus saith the Lord.
Yes,
I want to see this word affect our lives.
Amen.
So Holy Spirit, illuminate. The things that I have shared tonight, bring these things home. Bring them home.
Yes.
Help us all to comprehend and to understand so that we can step out and walk in the things that you've got for us to walk in. Mighty outpouring of your Spirit. Signs and wonders and miracles following the teaching of your word. Thank you. I speak your blessing over us as we go. That you would station your angels round about us. I plead the blood of Jesus over us. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's end this with a note of victory.
Hallelujah!